And I'll go ahead and bring everybody in. Okay, Chair, this was everybody who was in our waiting room.
Okay, let's get started. I'm gonna go over the process here in a little bit, and then we'll do some introductions and we'll have a swearing in. First, what we'll do is I'll introduce our panelists who will ultimately make a ruling on the decision today. We'll check the microphones and make sure everybody's audio and technology is right for the people who are witnesses that will be speaking today. You'll have an opportunity to swear in. I'll do a small overview of the case today and then ultimately turn it over to the mom so we can hear from her. And then we'll hear from the Chilton coach and then finally from the DEC. And certainly throughout that whole process, any committee members who have questions may jump in at any time. And ultimately, we'll give the mom an opportunity to sum up things before the DEC or the state executive committee discusses the information that we've heard and make a decision. With that, I'll start with introduction of the panelists. My name is James Colbert. I am the superintendent of Harris County Department of Ed. Dr. Caldwell.
Curtis Caldwell, retired superintendent.
Dr. Teal.
Glenn Teal, superintendent of the GEMNED CISD.
And then the rest of the folks here are part of the UIL staff. Let's do some introductions of some of our people who are going to be speaking today. I see Daryl. How do you say your name, Daryl? I don't want to butcher it.
Stewart, Daryl Stewart. I'm the
DEC chair.
superintendent of Bremond ISD and the DEC chair.
Okay. I see mom down there, Miss Green. Can you say hi? Can you unmute real quick? Make sure we can hear you.
Hi. I'm the mom and kind of in the middle of a situation. Had a COVID outbreak in my building, but I will be able to come in. I'm walking with my phone, so I will be able to come in and out.
Well, you are a soldier today. We appreciate you. You hang in there.
Well, thank you.
Multitasking. Mr.
So
Hubbard, is that how you say your name?
it's
Hubert?
Hewitt. I'm Benny
Hubert.
Hewitt. I'm the
Okay.
athletic director, head football coach at Chilton ISD.
Okay. And I see two Brandon Huberts, which was which? So you're Mr. Hewitt and this
Yes.
Brandon.
Brandon Hubbard, I think he's a recruiter.
I'm Brandon Hubbard. I'm the superintendent here in Chilton ISD.
Brandon. All right. At this point, we'd like all those who are going to be speaking today to raise your right hand so Caroline can swear you in before we get started and unmute. And your response is, I do. Ms. Green, I need you to unmute and raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you.
Yes, I do. Let's see how many people on 600.
Okay, mom, you can mute and we'll come back to you here in a second. So what we have here today is we have an issue really of residency. We don't often do these emergency meetings, but we know that there's probably some playoff implications. All the committee members have had the opportunity to review the documents that have been submitted and have also seen the video. Today, what we like to do is just focus on the facts, and we'll like to hear from mom, and then obviously we'll get Chilton an opportunity to respond, and then we'll get some reflections from the DEC. Mom, do you have an opportunity where you might be able to take 5 minutes somewhere in a room where you could talk to us and just present your situation to us so we don't have to listen to it from someone else? Mom's talking to someone, but it's not us. Mom, Miss Green.
Yes, I do.
Can you
Can
just
I
take
stand
5 minutes? Yeah, and just kind of bring us up to speed. We've read the documents, but we want to hear from you what we're dealing with. And I have a few questions for you too.
on. And then we can finish walking, okay? Yeah, we can finish getting those people moving. Is it okay if I go in your office later since we don't? Keep your mask on before we get in your office.
Excuse me, can I please have the office real fast?
Well, we had an incident when I was in Dallas where I had a family member that actually got killed, shot. It started because we had another friend of the family that stayed two streets over at that time, and her house was shot up. My son was walking home. He actually seen the people who shot her house up. So this is deeper than all of this situation that's going on. So when he saw and he came home and he told us, well, the next day I was in the process of speaking with the actual one of the gunmen, his mom. And I have all of that on text messages that's already been submitted. Everything, even the video, everything has been submitted. While I'm standing there talking to his mom outside, we heard more gunshots. At that point in time, it was her son and three more other people killing my cousin, shooting him in the head. So I get a call a couple minutes later than that, telling me to get to the gas station because something has happened to one of my cousins. It was his mom on the phone with me saying, get up there because something happened to my son. They know I'm a nurse. So of course I was the first person that they called. When we arrived on the scene, Keyshawn jumped out the car before I could even stop the car. And he went and he was standing over his cousin with his brains blew out. Okay. We started getting threats. They were threatening to shoot our house up, all of these things. So that was one of the reasons why I came to the conclusion to sell my house. Also, my other children are grown. I have one son that's in PV. My other son, I had to get to safety, and I felt like the safest place for us to go was Chilton. That's how we ended up in Chilton, because that's where my village is. That's the best thing that I knew to do for my family. So that's how we ended back up in Chilton, because we was there before, and we went back to Chilton. That's where we stay. And so I started travel nursing. I travel nurse. I don't know if they get the idea of what travel nursing is, but I don't stay just gone from home. That's my domicile. That's where I stay at. And so when I travel nurse, I would have to go be gone three shifts before I took this job permanently in Waxahachie. It's three shifts. And so I'm gone and I stay in hotels those three shifts. Like I told them the whole other truth. My son has been dealing with depression. He's been dealing with a lot of things. So this is just bigger than football. I don't know what's been going on, but this, and I don't want him to feel unsafe. I don't want him to be triggered. Cause even at the meeting, I don't know if they paid attention to the panel, but he put his head down and start picking at his head. Like that bothered me as a mother. Like I told the coaches, this is sad. Like this is pulled me in a whole situation, and domicile has been established. I submitted everything I had, was open and honest, and they're still saying, okay, well, she haven't established domicile, but I did because this is the residence where I stay.
Hold on, let me stop you.
And I can't help it that I have a village. No, I'm not.
Hold on. So let me stop you there. When you keep referring to domicile, you're talking about with the district
In Chilton, that's where I stay at. They were saying that I didn't stay there, that I don't know. I don't have the understanding of everything, sir. But they kept saying, well, I didn't stay there, or it's a gray area with me traveling or whatever the case may be at the time when I was doing travel nursing. I have to still provide for my family. That's my job. But that doesn't mean wherever I travel nurse to, that's where I stay.
And so you enrolled your son at Chilton September 1st.
Yeah, I enrolled him a little bit later because I'm going to be honest, I don't trust everything after that situation. I don't trust everybody. And like I told them, I had to wait till I could come there and enroll him. That's why I won't put him on no buses. That's why my brother, my nephews, all of them are taking out time to help with Keyshawn. I don't even let him go anywhere. He don't go to the movies. He don't go do anything.
Keyshawn wasn't in school until September 1st.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. Where did you live at September 1st?
I was there in Chilton.
I know. Where did you have a home? Did you have a residency in Chilton?
No, I didn't. I had a home there in Chilton.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You had a home in Chilton.
Yes, but I was staying in hotels and stuff like that on my contracts.
Yeah. So what was the address of the home that you lived in September 1st?
140 County Road, number 4032, Chilton.
Okay. And that's where Keyshawn lived at also? he was there?
Yes, that's where Keyshawn stays also.
Okay. All right, keep going. I'm sorry. You can finish up.
And so at the time, they were saying something about the buses. I don't trust them to get on the bus. I don't, this is like bigger than all of that. I mean, even the people that I work with know, they know I drive here every day. They know, I mean, they're here now in the office. So, I mean, even the people that I work with know. So I don't know what else is needed.
Okay. And so to your knowledge, when did Keyshawn start playing football, practicing?
To be honest with you, I don't know. He didn't start right off. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, because I really don't keep up with all of that. I don't know.
And do y'all currently reside at that 140 CR 4032 address?
Yes. Yes, we do.
And do you own that home, or do you rent, lease, or staying with someone?
No. The only home I ever owned was in Dallas, and I sold that. I don't own any other home.
Who owns this home that you're in right now?
I don't know who owns the home. I know who I stay with. I stay with my nephew, and my nephew has the lease in his name, and I'm on the actual as a approved occupant to stay there.
Okay.
Because he added me on.
Mm-hmm. And so you get mail shipped there. That's where you have all your mail sent to, is that address?
Yes. And I sent some mail in. I sent my bank statements in to show them.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we talk to some of the coaches? We're going to come back to you, and you'll have an opportunity to, you know, because we'll probably have some additional questions for you. But we're going to come back to you. This isn't your last opportunity to talk.
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right, put your mask back on, and you can mute, and I'll let you know when we need to come back to you, okay? All right, from Chilton, we have the superintendent and we have Coach. We have Coach Hewitt. Coach, why don't you give us your perspective? Now, I've read, we don't have a ton of information here, and sometimes we get more, but there's a lot of discrepancies in where Keyshawn lives at. And I've picked up on things that coaches are picking him up from different places and bringing him to practice. I need you to bring some clarity to us on that. And then I also need you to speak to that you played the young man before she had her established residency with the district. And so I'm going to need you to speak to that too. So go ahead.
Yes, sir. When she came in to enroll him in school, Keyshawn, he didn't play until after those 15 days rule. It was a 15-day rule. Once he enrolled in school, which was in September, we did a PAPF on him and sent that to the DEC. Just because he didn't enroll in the first day of school, we had to wait those 15 days. After his 15 days of eligibility, the game eligibility, is we did our supplement and sent it to the DEC. Okay. Keyshawn was, and I know this is a different situation, but as assistant coach, he was proved to play. He played his freshman year here and 8 or 9 games of his sophomore year before he went back to Dallas. And so after he came back in August, now some of the information that mom is, she was kind of close to some of the information because it was, from my understanding, it was private on this incident that happened in Dallas. And so, but when Keyshawn was in Shamika, when they showed up to enroll him in school, they filled out the PAPF. I got the information that was given to me, and we followed the rule as the 15-day rule. I did the supplemental to the DEC, and then we allowed him to play.
Now, you've mentioned the 15-day rule several times here, but you hadn't spoken about checking on her residency.
Yes, I went by to check. Once I got the lease agreement, I went by to that County Road 140, 4032, and then I checked was there a resident that was livable. I checked those, and everything checked out well. So after that, I did the.
And did you determine that they lived at that address?
Yes. Yes, I went inside. I went inside and checked. In the resident, I saw that it was livable, and did my due diligence on that part, and And once I got the lease agreement and added the lease agreement with the address, made sure that was correct. And then from there, I just followed other procedures on going forward with this.
And had your school district determined that that was her residence?
Yes, from my understanding, yes.
When did Keyshawn start working out with y'all?
Keyshawn started working out. It was, he enrolled September, and sometime in September when he started working out.
Sometime in September.
Yes.
And how many games has he played with you?
Keyshawn played 5 games with us. The first, so, his first game that he was eligible to play was September the 23rd. Okay. It was, I think it was week five, Louisville game.
And so when did you become aware that there could be an issue with the residency?
When I came aware of that was October the 31st, which was Tuesday of this week. Is when I became aware of there was an issue with this. This is October 31st.
How did you become aware of that?
Through email from the deck.
And what was your response to that?
Wow. So first thing I did is call my superintendent, or my superintendent called me, and I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. And so what's your perspective on that right now? As far as her residency is concerned,
for her residency concern, I still did my due diligence. I called the mom, and me and mom had a conversation.
Do you stand by your process that you went?
Yes, sir. Through? Yes, sir. Stand by my process.
And you stand by that she lives at that address and is one of y'all's residents?
Yes, sir.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Superintendent.
Yes, sir.
What's your perspective on this situation?
My perspective is the information that has been provided back to me, the information that I've reviewed the lease agreement, I've seen the bank statements, spoken with the mom, heard her version of this, of what's happening. Heard from Coach Hewitt, the student. So I'm supporting the evidence that was presented to me by our athletic director, in that she's established residence in the district and that he's eligible as a member of the football team.
Any questions from the panel so far before I go to the DEC chair? Okay, thank you, gentlemen. We may be coming back to you. DEC chair.
Yes, sir.
I see that it was a 4-2 vote. Can you talk to us a little bit? Most of us have seen the video of your DEC. Talk to us a little bit of why they voted the way they did.
I think it was 3-2.
Yeah, 3-2.
Was it 3-2?
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe that there was the people that voted for him to be eligible, there was definitely sympathy for the kid and the family and the situation that they had gone through. I think there was also the possibility of, him being, and mom didn't want to hear it, but maybe a homeless type situation. And I think that's why those people voted that way. The people that voted against it, the question of, the kid living there all of August and not participating in two-a-days was an issue to some people, because we are talking about a couple of uncles that coach, and there would be no reason for coach uncle to go by and say, hey, we're playing football, you're coming. Mom says he lived there then, but just didn't go to football practice. Mom also was in Tennessee until the middle of October. And I know she's a traveling nurse, but as our district, we went through this one time with a traveling oil field worker, and they had a travel trailer that they took from spot to spot. And we filed a waiver for that, and we were denied because that didn't create residency. Mom did have some documentation with the address on it, but when somebody that was there said, well, the UIL would really like to see a driver's license or voter ID, possibly, she indicated that she had those, and those had been changed to the Chilton address. And had she shown up with those with the Chilton address that day, I believe she would have, you know, they would have been approved, but she was not able to provide those after indicating that she had those. So, I think, you know, it is, I believe, a very gray area on the residency, and the people that voted for eligibility felt like there was enough evidence there, and the people that didn't did not.
So let's back up. You mentioned that she later on got documentation that she didn't have available when you had your DEC.
No, somebody brought it up at the meeting, you know, that the UIL would, if you had a voter ID or driver's license, that, you know, and so we recessed the meeting in order to get, she said she had those, but not with her.
Okay.
So we recessed the meeting to give her the next day to get those documents together. And then we weren't able to, if she would have been able to provide those documents, I, for one, definitely would have voted to approve it, but we did not get those documents.
Mom, we'll get to you in just a second. So one of my questions will be is, did she ultimately get those documents? Do you know anything about that? Or you never heard whether she actually was able to provide
documents? From what I understand, she had to go make an appointment and go apply for a driver's license, a new driver's license. Her other one was expired, but it did have the old date, and she did not have a new one transferred yet. That's my understanding.
Any questions from panel members for DEC chair? So am I hearing you right that your primary reasons for why y'all voted against her is that there was a tremendous amount of movement on her part because of her job being a traveling nurse, but the other component is that he didn't participate or didn't practice or didn't show up to any type of football thing for the whole month of August? It wasn't until September 1st.
Well, it seemed out of character to have lived there, to be living there during that time and not participating. And for him to not enroll in school, if he lived there the whole month of August, Mom said she had to wait until she could fly back from Tennessee to enroll him.
Okay.
Which meant that Mom wasn't, you know, was she not there all of July? I mean, all of August. If she was in Tennessee all of August, then she had not established a residency there. If she wasn't there long enough to enroll him in school in August.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr.
Teal, I'll come to you, Dr. Harrison, in a second.
Yeah, this question is for DEC chair. So seems like in the DEC documentation that's provided from your meeting this week, there was a lot of discussion about who was taking him to school and who was taking him home and providing transportation. So a couple of questions here. Can you verify for our committee that Mom was not, you mentioned she was gone for the month of September to Tennessee. Was that established in the DEC that she was gone that entire month or most?
No, it wasn't. But when asked why he wasn't enrolled until September 1st, or did not participate in football, get enrolled to participate in football, the answer was because she had to wait until she could fly back from Tennessee to get him enrolled.
Okay.
So if she would have been able to, if she would have been there during the month of August, she would have been able to enroll him.
Okay. All right.
And your point to that, DEC chair, is that because she couldn't enroll him, how could she be a resident in the area at the time?
Well, I believe if she would have been there, she would have went ahead and enrolled him. If she had to wait till September 1st until she flew in from Tennessee. You know, if she would have been there, if she was there once a week, she could have enrolled him anytime, you know, four different weeks during the month of August.
Dr. Harrison.
Mr. Chair, can I ask one other follow-up on that? It has to do with transportation, because we've seen in the documentation that would seem to be called into question, or at least part of the documentation. Look, who is, while mom's away, who's providing transportation to and from school? Was that discussed among members of the DC, mom, et cetera? What did you learn there?
There are uncles that coach in Chilton that I believe pick up the slack there, and the nephew that lives in the house there that we're talking about.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Dr. Harrison.
My question is related to those that Mr. Teal asked, and I know there was a couple of different students that the DEC met on, so I may be getting them confused, but just to make sure we're clear, was there discussion for this student about him being picked up for school somewhere outside of Chilton?
The other situation was discussed more about that issue. There was definitely discussion about a coach picking up a student in Waco and transporting them to Chilton, and or taking them from Chilton to meet the mom in Waco to get picked up. But that was not this kid.
So this, all the transportation talk was about from the residents.
Not all of it. There were questions asked about who transported this kid as well. And you know, there are some uncles that coach in Chilton that's what the answer was that's who picks him up and takes him to school.
And so he, all of the time though, he was being picked up from the house in Chilton, not from a house in any other district.
Well, there was, that's no, sometimes he stays with an uncle that lives in Marlin.
Okay.
And how do you know that? How do you know he stays with this uncle in Marlin?
It was
one of the coaches.
The mom said that in the meeting, not like she said he'll just go spend the night with an uncle or an aunt that lives in Waco or his family members.
Any other questions for the DC chair? Mom is anxiously waiting to get back on. Okay, mom, it's your turn. Oh no, you're muted. You're muted. We can't hear you, mom.
There we go. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do a lot. Start over. I think things that are getting mixed up and flip-flop, because I never said I flew back and I was not gone the whole month. Like I told them, I worked 3 days out the week on my travel assignment. They asked me where I stay. I told them hotels because I get a stipend. I come back home. I told them that I had to wait. I wanted to enroll my son because of safety issues. It's still one of those killers out there. I don't trust nothing. I don't know if your family ever been threatened to have your whole family shot or your kids, but you're going to do what you have to do to protect them. So that's why my brother and my nephews and stuff all help. When Keyshawn go, and I told them, I said, I don't know what your culture do, but we allow our nieces and nephews to spend a night with us. When Keyshawn go on Fridays after the game, he'll go spend a night over his uncle's house. And that's what I told him. I never told him he stayed over there. When they asked me about my voter's registration card and my ID, because I had came from work. I had been at work since 3 o'clock that morning and left and came straight there. I told him I have that. I have an ID and voter's registration card. Yes, it's registered to Dallas. And I didn't even know my driver's license and stuff was expired until Coach Hewitt pointed that out to me, because I've been so busy. But at the end of the day, I made me an appointment for Thursday to get it taken care of, because I have to get it taken care of with the Board of Nursing. So I really thank him for that. But I never said that. And so when I told him I didn't know if everything had been changed over yet, the other lady brought it up yesterday in a meeting, and he made like he didn't hear that. He said, oh, well, I didn't hear that. She said, yes, the mom told you that yesterday. That, yes, she had her ID. Yes, she has a voter registration card, but she don't know if everything had been turned over. So when they asked me if I had it in there with me, I said, no, I did not have that in there with me. I wasn't going to lie about it. But it's things being mixed up. As far as anybody coming to pick him up, yes, my brother is going to pick him up and drop him back out. I don't trust any buses. I don't trust Keyshawn to ride with anybody. I don't want to do any of that. Sorry. Now, any other situation where anybody else come into play, I don't know about all of that. But I can't help it that my kids, my village, consists of my brothers and my nephews, and they happen to be coaches. My other nephew, he's a coach in Houston. I can't help that. Okay, yeah, but that's what's going on.
I don't think that's the issue for this panel. And I mean, we see that. I mean, everybody's got uncles, and I think that's a good thing that his uncle works in the same school district that he attends school at. This is really basic, where it's trying to determine residency.
Right.
And then on top of that, I think we have an issue of timing. You know, mm-hmm. not only where is your residency, but when was it established? And was that, how does that coincide? And so how does that coincide from when he was playing football?
I'm glad that he's playing, because it took him a minute. I wasn't going to force Keyshawn to play. I wasn't going to do any of that because Keyshawn was depressed. Even my nephew asked me, what's wrong with him? He just staying in the room and he just playing his game. He just doing this, and Keyshawn was depressed. I know my baby's not no superstar or none of that kind of stuff. He's not. But guess what? This is good for his mental. This is deeper to me than just football. Don't take something away from him that's being therapeutic for him because of what he went through, because of some other kids is doing or whatever, whoever doing. That has nothing to do with mine or my situation.
So like I said before, I got you, and I agree with you on all of that. The question is residency, and where were you at the time that he started playing football? And that's what we're trying to determine. And so what's your voter card and driver's license situation look like now? Has that been
I go Tuesday to get all of that transferred over. They told me all I have to do is bring my notarized lease, which is already notarized. I had gave them all of that stuff. I just have to take that to get everything switched over. But all of my stuff was still in Dallas, because I'm going to be honest, I haven't had time to just do all of that. It doesn't take anything to change the address, but I haven't had time to just change all of that over. That's why I told them I don't know if all of that has changed, but they said they didn't. One person heard
it. Hold on, now I've got a question for you. It says here that you closed on the house June 1st, 2023.
Yes.
So all your stuff is still in that house?
No, all my stuff is here and in storage. All my stuff, though, that I couldn't fit in his house, it's in storage, and I just pay storage on it.
But your stuff was still in Dallas. That's why I was confused. You said I sold it.
Yeah, once the shooting happened, yes, sir, I sold that house. We could not stay in that house, and people are threatening to shoot it up. No, absolutely not, because nobody's just going up.
So, mom, slow down. Mom, slow down. So, where's all your stuff at in Dallas?
All of my stuff in Dallas that I could bring with me that we need to function and live with is here, like furniture and all of that other stuff that nobody needs or anything like that. It's still in storage. I mean, I have to pay a storage on it. We have nowhere to store it.
Committee, we have any questions for mom?
Yeah, I mean, that's common sense. I mean, I can't help it if I'm staying with somebody.
Mom, do you have any closing statement you would like to make?
No, I don't. I just feel like, to me, like I told everybody, the coaches and everything, I don't know what's all going on. I can't speak of other kids' situations, but this is bigger. This is way bigger. My son had to deal with a bunch of traumatic issues, and I'm happy that he's at the state that he's in. I'm happy that he's at the mind frame that he's in. And no, I don't want something to be taken away from him that's helping him. No, he's not no superstar player or anything like that, but that's not why we didn't come to Chilton for football. But it's been helpful to him. I'm glad that he made the decision to go. I'm glad that he made the decision to get out of that backing of that room. That's not good for anybody, and I'm glad he made the decision to do that. But don't take that and make him suffer because of other situations that happen. That's not fair. That's not right.
All right. Well, we appreciate you. You've articulated yourself well, and it's obvious that you have tremendous love and passion for your kid. And so we'll be
making a
decision here in a few minutes. But regardless of what we decide, You know, and I love the fact that you're doing double duty right now. You're on the UIL discussion with your mask on and while working in somebody's office. So just sit tight, and we're going to close this up here pretty soon.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question for Dr. Harrison.
Okay, y'all ready?
So am I clear on thinking that the biggest issue we have here is, one, did she have residency, and when did she have it? Are those the two issues here?
Yes, sir. I mean, the real question is, did the student play while in compliance with the parent residency rule? The DEC ruled he was not, and Chilton is appealing that. So that is the issue before you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. And back to our chair. Have you heard any new information or come across any new information that would change your decision if you had to make it again?
No, sir. I will confirm that there was one of the members thought that they heard her say that she didn't know if that voter registration or driver's license had been transferred, but nobody else heard that I know of. So no, sir, I haven't heard anything different. I will say that the DEC, members of the DEC, thought that waiver should have been applied for Keyshawn, for him to be eligible to play.
Assuming that she was willing to say that she was homeless at the time.
Well, not necessarily homeless, but the situation that occurred with him would probably warrant, you know, approval of that.
So. Mm-hmm. Coach Hewitt. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Caldwell. I'll come to Coach Hewitt.
And you may, because my question was going to be for the school district. Was there any discussion, any question at all regarding Keyshawn's residency, any discussion about a possible waiver, any discussion about his circumstances all through 8 weeks of the football season prior to this? That either the superintendent or the coach?
No, once I got the information from mom with the lease, with her lease agreement that was notarized. Just because Keyshawn was approved by the DAC before his freshman year, before and with the same documentation, there was none discussed. Okay. I did talk to mom about to make, you know, she was here in August. She moved here in August. And when she gave me the lease agreement, we talked about the 15 days and other information, those deals, and that he had to set up the 15 days. And we made sure he was enrolled in school, and I checked to make sure that the address was correct and everything was fitted with the lease. And so I didn't discuss that with the DAC or anything. I submitted to PAPF, and I was waiting to hear from them.
Let's go back to his freshman year for a minute. So the PAPF that you referenced for his freshman year came from Dallas, right?
Yes.
Okay. And did, after his freshman year, did he go back to Dallas or did he stay in Chilton?
He stayed in Chilton. Now, I wasn't the athletic director then, but someone else was at the helm during that time. But I just know that everything was, his freshman year to now, everything was the same as an address coming back to Chilton. And so he played his freshman year and maybe 8 or 9 games his sophomore year before he went back to Dallas. And now he's a junior.
Yeah. And so he is back now. And but when he came back, that there was no question about whether we should pursue a waiver. You just looked at the lease. He'd been in your district before. So you made the determination or the conclusions again that he'd been there before, hadn't been a problem. So now that he's back, everything from a residency standpoint was acceptable to the district and complied with UIL residency rules. That was district's viewpoint, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I submitted it to the deck.
Okay. And when did the questions, or how did we get to this point today? What action or questions that were brought to the DEC? How did that originate, and who brought that? And that, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stewart, you may want to address that.
I will, yes, sir. Let me say before that in our, if you watched our meeting, Coach Hewitt, I don't believe ever mentioned that he did a home visit when we discussed it in our meeting. I got a phone call. I got a phone call on, it was October the 19th, that told me that there was a kid playing in Chilton that was getting picked up by a coach every day. And so I pulled up the portal with the lady on the phone, and I told her, I said, no, ma'am, there's nothing in the portal on any new students from Chilton. So then on the 23rd, I got an email that there was a PAPF in the portal. So I pulled it up and looked, it's totally different case, but I did a home visit on that one. And we just figured out that kid had not established residency. His PAPF was denied. Long story short, come to find out, the phone call that I thought I had gotten on the first student, she called back again and said, this kid is still playing. How's this kid still playing? And I said, you know, that they had just put in a PAPF for the kid, thinking it was the other one, and that he had not played in any games. And so I asked her what number we were talking about, and she said number 12. And that's how we got to this point.
Okay. And I'm going to ask a couple other questions just to help me understand here. So the young man that was in question that was being picked up by a coach from another community and brought was not Keyshawn.
It was not Keyshawn. No, sir.
Okay. So we have two incidences here where there was questions and concerns over residency, established residency for Chilton players. One has already been handled, that youngster never played. Is that right?
Because that's correct. Okay. That's correct.
All right. So we got Keyshawn's situation where he's not, has he been transported from, or do we know, did the DEC have any information about him living in Marlin or Waco or somewhere else?
I don't know that there's any information on that about him living in Marlin or anything like that. Staying with an uncle that coaches, maybe, but I don't know about living there.
Okay. The uncle, does he doesn't live in Chilton, or does he?
He does not, I don't believe.
But he was being looked after at the home residence in Chilton by a cousin or
whom? I believe it's by her nephew when she's not there.
Okay.
Good questions. Any others? I would say to Chilton, before we make a decision here, regardless of what the decision is, I think there needs to be some efforts to clean up the optics. You know, I was told once that anytime you're explaining, you're losing. And so you want to keep it as crystal clear as possible. And I think with people, regardless if it's this student or another, but being picked up by other people and you know, it looks confusing, and you end up having to explain yourself where you shouldn't have to. So you need to try to clean that up and try to keep all your procedures as transparent as possible. All right. At this time, committee, any discussion? Mr. Teal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So when I was first listening to testimony, it was my, I guess, impression that mom was gone for lengthy periods, and therefore this student, Keyshawn, could be considered homeless or lacking a residence. But I'm, after hearing everything, and DEC chair, you might want to clear this up for me or for the committee if it's otherwise, but my mom has stated she's gone for approximately 3 nights and then returns. And I don't know if that is being disputed, but I'm not hearing anything to the contrary where she's gone for lengthy periods other than her brief traveling nurse stints and comes back to the community until the next day. But is that did y'all hear information contrary to that, Mr. Chair?
I don't know that we heard information contrary to that. We just, you know, she was unable to register her student till after 4 days after school started because she was in Tennessee at the time. So that was kind of a red flag that if she had been there the week before, she could have registered him. The week before that, she could have registered him. But she didn't. So,
okay.
Thank you.
But when she reads, when she, and this may be back for the school district, when she did finally register him, whenever that was, she provided what type of residence? A lease? This is going back to the school district, Mr. Stewart. What documentation did she provide to the school district when she did enroll him in September? Mr. Hubbard, anyone?
To my understanding, she provided the lease document at that time.
Which is a residence that she's lived in before.
Say that again.
And this was a residence that they've lived in before when he was a freshman and sophomore.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we're at the point where panel, any discussion, any comments? I'll start by saying that just like you, Mr. Till, my perspective of this has changed a little, but not so much about the time that she spent moving around. I think it's made it clear to me that this is a residence that's not a new residence, but one that they've lived at before. I hate having these cases, first of all, but then I hate having to presume a bunch of things, especially when we're dealing with a young person's eligibility. And the timing of when she did what and when she enrolled her son and this, that, and the other doesn't necessarily, I think, disqualify him or make him ineligible. It just means that, you know, it could mean that out of an abundance of caution or whatever, a traumatic event, that they didn't get around to that. And that's not unusual in some of the areas that I've worked in. So there's a lot of gray area in this as far as I'm concerned. Other comments? Mr. Caldwell, Mr.
Yeah, Teal? Yeah. But that, Mr. Chairman, I would say that in this instance, I'm not putting the school district at a great deal of fault because, you know, he'd lived there before. The mom was back in the residence. He'd been there before, brought the lease agreement. It would have been good if at some point she could have provided a driver's license or something to establish that residency with a little more concrete documentation. But, you know, the other part is, I'm always troubled when these things occur this late in a season and you have two different accusations that, you know, have surfaced. And one, the individual has not played and he probably doesn't need to be transported by coaches from another community. And that's an issue that certainly results in some scrutiny of what Chilton's doing. But I'm not sure there's a there's a preponderance of evidence here on this one case about Keyshawn, about outside of some folks maybe not doing their due diligence, that there's anything egregious here.
Well, it's back to the optics. And so, nope, Soup, we're wrapping up right now. Okay. So we're having our own discussion and we're going to make a decision here in a few minutes. Mr. Till, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'll probably just echo what both of you have stated. And I'm also just looking through the lens of the perspective of the chair who had this happen at Bremond with the RV and the oil field worker, and seeing, you know, connections there that would translate in their local DC meeting. So I get that. And now, you know, more than ever, all of our communities have traveling nurses. We have our fair share of them. There's some good opportunities there. It's not ideal, obviously, for Mom and Keyshawn, because she's not there, you know, for so much time periodically. I agree that residency was established previously. He's gone for a period of time, his sophomore year, come back to the same residence. Again, optics are poor. Need somebody else taking Keyshawn to school. But other than that, I'm not seeing anything of great concern here.
Okay, well, we're at the point of making a decision for Chilton High School's appeal of the District 13-2A Division 2 Executive Committee ruling regarding Section 442, Residency in School District and Attendance Zone, and Section 50, Student Violation. We have three options. One, we can either grant the appeal, overturning the ruling of the District Executive Committee. Two, we could deny the appeal, upholding the ruling of the District Executive Committee. Or three, we could do one or the other and take additional action under Section 27. All those in favor of granting the appeal and overturning the ruling of the District Executive Committee, please raise your right hand. It is unanimous. The appeal is granted, and that is the end of this situation. And so I think that I commend the District Executive Committee and the work that y'all have done. You did your due diligence, and this is complicated. None of these decisions are ever easy. But also commend the parent and the mom advocating for a child. And sometimes life gets in the way and we can't determine what happens. Obviously, the video that we saw was disturbing, and no person or child should ever see that happen to anyone. But with that, this matter is over. Thank you. And Caroline, you can remove people from the committee. Any other business to discuss?
No, committee members, thank you for jumping on short term. I think this hearing is a good example of the process working well. Information came out during the hearing that I had not heard before, and I've been in a lot of phone calls on this situation. I think the main piece you guys picked up on was the student had lived in the same house for 2 years prior to moving to Dallas. He moved back to that house. So that was a significantly missing piece of information before this hearing.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear he had established residency previously. He went back to the same house. It's the issue of timing.
Yeah. You know, the question we often ask is you have to be eligible somewhere. And I think the only place he's probably eligible is Chilton. You know,
well said.
Nowhere to go.
Well said. The committee did a really good job fleshing that out. You asked some appropriate questions and continued on a vein that you could get some clarity. That was a difficult situation. Thank you at short notice for taking that on a Friday. And Mr. Teal, good luck in the playoffs. Hope to see you at AT&T. And a lot of good things happening in Arlington right now. We've got the Rangers as our World Series champions. And there's Mr. Colwell smiling like a Cheshire cat over there.
Well, nothing. Now, Mr. Colbert's not smiling as much, but there's probably some Astros. And of course, Mr. Wade's not on the call, and Daryl. So yeah, We'll keep our powder dry till he's on the next one, okay?
Yeah, right.
All right, folks. I appreciate you. Y'all take care.
Thank you, guys.